Now. Real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
Let's get on to our first topic before I start annoying people. And we're going to be talking about, you know, the rising trend in egg freezing amongst women in Ireland. Egg freezing allows women to preserve their fertility by freezing and storing eggs for future use. Now, in recent years, there's been a notable increase in the number of women choosing to freeze their eggs. For instance, in the UK, the number of single women opting for fertility treatments, including egg freezing, has tripled over the last decade, rising from 1,400 in 2012 to 4,800 in 2022. Single women now account for 89% of egg freezing cases. While specific data for Ireland is limited, similar trends are emerging. Women are increasingly considering egg freezing for various reasons, including health reasons, career aspirations, lack of suitability of partners, or personal choice. Now, my first guest here tonight is to tell us all about it will be Sarah Boyle, who is the laboratory manager and a senior embryologist at the Waterstone Clinic. Waterstone Clinic has 5 locations nationwide for those who want to avail of those kind of services. And she joins me on the line. I do apologise, by the way, we have a slight technical issue tonight, but hopefully we'll get through the night and it won't cause us too many problems. But Sarah, hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you doing?
Nice to talk to you, Sarah. Sarah, I have noticed, because I know 2 women recently who I spoke to who have had their eggs frozen. So and up to that point, I've never heard of anybody doing it. So obviously it's becoming more and more popular.
Definitely, yeah.
And what is the main reason? I mean, I have down here the reasons would be health, you know, career aspirations, suitable partner, or personal choice. In your experience, what has been the main reason?
Oh, well, I do think, like, the medical freezes do make up a certain proportion of our egg freezes. But I think in large it is societal changes. You know, we are leaving things later. Women are in education longer, we're developing our careers, we meet our partners later, buying houses later. So priorities have shifted. And as a result, women are reaching for technology for a little bit of help and hopefully to give them a little bit more time with their biological clock.
Mm. Well, when we're finished talking to you a bit later, we're going to be opening the lines to our callers. And one of the questions they're going to be asking is this a good thing for society or a bad thing for society? So we'll be talking about that in general. But obviously, from the Waterstone Clinic point of view, it's a good thing for society. And I want to reiterate that, because people choose to do it. It is a personal choice. But I mean, so what's involved in it? Is it a fairly invasive thing, or is it similar to just getting a smear test, or what's involved in it?
So it all starts off with some fertility assessments, which are generally a few blood tests and an ultrasound scan. So that's quite straightforward, okay? After that, a doctor will design a stimulation protocol, which will help your ovaries produce a number of eggs. So that does involve taking some medication, okay? These are often injections. So I guess if you're thinking of invasiveness, that is a level to consider. So after a few days, the doctor will decide when the time is right to do the egg collection procedure. So this is a minor surgical procedure. Generally, patients are sedated, okay? And it only takes about 15 minutes. It's very straightforward. And that is where we would go into the ovaries and aspirate whatever number of eggs are available to us at that time.
And how many are there? I'm curious now. How many are available at that time? How many eggs roughly would be available at that time?
Totally case by case. It would depend massively on the patient's hormone levels and age, but it could be on average between 8 and 10, but it could be as many as 20, could be as little as 1. So it does vary from patient to patient. It is completely unique.
Okay. And those eggs, are they all viable? Or do we know if they're viable? I mean, is there a way of telling if they're viable?
Viability, not so much. So essentially, when you collect them, you would hope they would all be viable at that point. But whether or not they mature is the question. So we need them to be grown to a certain stage to be able to freeze them successfully for future use. Okay. Mm. So generally speaking, of the eggs we collected, you'd hope that about 80% will be mature, and only mature eggs can be frozen. So that's the question at that point, is maturity rather than viability.
I mean, leaving aside the moral aspect of it, the biological aspect of it is amazing. I mean, because when you think about it, it's essentially cryogenics, isn't it?
Yes. Well, it is in scientifically it's cryogenic, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, and how long can they be kept for? Like, you know, when you freeze your food at home, there's a kind of shelf life. They say don't freeze for longer than 3 months. How long can you freeze eggs for? Is it indefinite?
There's no shelf life. Essentially, yeah, indefinite. Now, there isn't a massive amount of research, you know, around for hundreds of years to say after 50 years they expire or 100 years expire. We don't have that data, but so far it suggests that. So far, what we can see now, it would obviously, it depends on the age of the person who's going to use them. So generally speaking, you know, they would expire at the point where you can no longer use them anymore yourself, or, you know, childbearing age.
Yeah. Yeah, of course, because when you get to a certain age, obviously it's more difficult to have children, and certainly more dangerous too, that the older you get to, from yourself and biological point of view.
Yeah.
And this kind of trend now that we're seeing, that if we go back 30 or 40 years ago, women were having their first child at 21 years of age. Now we're looking at 32 years of age. It's kind of expanded greatly. There is an argument, of course, that's not great for society because it limits the number of children, obviously, you can have. Is that a thought when people are doing this, that if I hold off for, you know, 7 or 8 years for having a baby, it means that I'm going to have less children, obviously, because I have less time to have them?
Oh, I do definitely think that that is something that's in most women's mind when they come to us. Like, I think it can vary from person to person, and some people can have ideas and think, you know, I still have plenty of time to have 3 children, for example. And then you might have another patient who knows they'll be lucky if they have one. It is a kind of a mental shift, I suppose, and not everyone is of the same outlook from the get-go. But I do think, generally speaking, even societally, people are having less children anyway. But I guess it depends also at the age the patient comes to us. You know, if they come to us at an older age, they may only want to have one child. It might be all that they see themselves having. Whereas if they come to us at a younger age, they might see it as, you know, I'd like to make a family from this. And that may be 3 children, 2 children, whatever the case may be.
And where the eggs are frozen, similar to when you write your will, you know, solicitors put these into kind of fireproof safes, you know, when you write your will, so it'll never be destroyed, hopefully. I mean, is everything kosher? When I say kosher, when it comes to, you know, an ongoing basis of having the eggs frozen, at some point, do you run out of space? I'm assuming they're on Petri dishes. Are they Petri dishes, I imagine, is it? Or similar?
No, they're frozen. They're frozen in big, massive cryogenic tanks that we call dewars.
Okay.
So they're kept in big freezers, essentially. So they're stored at minus 196 degrees. They're big tanks.
Yeah, that's cold.
Yeah, so they're in Petri dishes to start with. So when we collect them at the time of the egg collection, they're still in Petri dishes. But once they're frozen, they're into essentially these big tanks, freezer tanks.
And is there an ongoing cost? Obviously, there's a cost to getting it done initially, and we'll talk about that in a second. But is there an ongoing cost then to keeping them frozen?
There is indeed, yeah. So clinics kind of vary in how they do their pricing for storage. At Waterstone Clinic, our storage is €25 a month. Some clinics give an annual fee, or they might give a fee for 3 years or 5 years. But generally, people are shifting towards a monthly fee.
Okay. So there is a monthly cost, obviously, to do that. But obviously, you know, it's beneficial to you if that's what you want to do, because it's worth it,
Absolutely.
I suppose, if that's what you want to do.
Yeah.
And what is the initial cost then for the consultation, if you don't mind telling us, if that's okay? The initial cost for the consultation and then obviously, you know, to go in then and have it done. What is the cost? Or is it per egg, or is it just an overall cost?
No, so what we would look at, what the overall cost of an egg freezing cycle is €2,500. And that would include your scans, that would include any consultations you need with the doctor during your stimulation cycle. And you would meet with the nurses and doctors regularly at that point. And your procedure on the day, your egg collection and all of that would be covered in there. We do have a different fee then for your initial consultation, and some initial bloods would be at a different cost. I believe our initial consultation could be €250. It might be more. I can check that for you. And then the bloods, depending on what bloods the doctor recommends for that patient. So that can be unique to the patient.
Okay. And in relation to, you know, I suppose there's no guarantees in life, but I mean, what is the success rate, you know, versus normal IVF, for example, you know, when a woman goes to have IVF and has the eggs and the sperm put together in a Petri dish and then put back in, it's, you know, there's a kind of 50-50 chance of it being successful. Is it when you have your eggs frozen and say 10 years later or 7 years later, you go back and say, okay, I want to have a baby now, you know, let's, and obviously you have to do it through IVF, I imagine, at that stage.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what is
is
the success rate the same because they've been frozen for so long? Does that matter, or does that make a difference to the success rate?
The length of time they're frozen for doesn't make a difference to the success rate, no. Mm-hmm. The success rate using frozen eggs would be marginally different to using, like, we would describe them as fresh eggs, so eggs that haven't been frozen, just because there's another level of intervention. You know, there. Now, there isn't a massive amount of statistics available for cycles using.
Yeah, it's kind of early, isn't it, in the day, really?
Exactly. Yeah. So again, we go back to the UK because they're the ones that are gathering data. So, for example, there was a study published in 2022 which looked at 500 egg freezing cycles, and those who had been thawed, So 10% of those women had actually thawed their eggs, and a third of those had gone on to have a baby. And it is interesting to point that in that study, no women over 40 were successful with a thawed egg at that point.
Okay.
So age is critical. The earlier you freeze your eggs, the more likely it is to be successful.
Okay. So the idea is that you thaw them out and use them kind of before you're 35 if you can. That would be the
idea. No, you freeze them.
Freeze them, sorry, before you're 35.
Yeah, it actually is irrelevant, really, what age you are when you thaw them.
Oh, okay.
It's just very important to the point at which you have them frozen.
Oh,
so
right.
So we would really encourage women to consider doing it before they're 35.
I saw a very interesting legal case there recently where somebody's eggs had been frozen and the person had sadly passed away. And then there was a whole kind of legal argument about using the eggs after the person had passed away. So I'm assuming there's consent forms and all sorts of legal ramifications to it.
Yeah. No, there is, of course. Like, obviously, if it's a couple that approaches for fertility treatment and we have an embryo, you would often say, I give consent for my partner to decide what happens to this embryo. But generally speaking, when we're freezing eggs, usually it's a single woman.
Yeah.
So generally speaking, the consent form would just be my, you know, the decision of what happens to my eggs would be in the hands of my mother, maybe.
Yeah.
Or I consent for them to be discarded if I die.
Yeah.
You know, there would be these kind of questions would be addressed in a consent form.
I mean, Ireland is relatively new to kind of IVF, egg freezing. We don't actually really have sperm donation yet, because I will be talking to at 10 o'clock tonight a guy called Kyle, who's fathered over 100 children to sperm donation. And and we're kind of very new to all this kind of, I suppose, you know, artificial biology, if that's what you want to call it. I don't know what the proper wording for it is.
Well, we're doing IVF for over 20 years now in Waterstone Clinic. And there are other clinics with long-running businesses too in Ireland. But in terms of egg freezing, we've been egg freezing since 2020.
Okay.
And that is just because we wanted the technology to get to a point where, you know, there was success before we offered it as a treatment.
Yeah.
So the UK is definitely they're doing it the longest. That's where the first IVF happened, and they were the pioneers, definitely.
Correct me if I'm wrong. So is the first IVF, is that technically what they used to refer to as the first test tube baby? Was that was the first? Well, I'm trying to remember her name now, because it was only the thing.
Louise Brown.
Louise Brown. That's right. She was only on Sky News there recently, because I think she's 40 or 50 years of age now at this stage.
50, yeah.
Yeah, 60 is she. Well, there you go. That just shows you my age, I can tell you now, Sarah, because I can almost remember it. Yeah, I do remember that. So it's bizarre that it's going on that long. And I imagine even in America, it's probably going on equally as long, if not longer.
Not far behind it now. Like I said, the UK were definitely the leaders for quite a while. And then, you know, it would have been quite big in Australia. And yes, there would be American research groups that caught on to it pretty quickly. But the UK was definitely the first and the earliest, and were the most advanced for quite a while, actually, too.
And are you noticing the same trend that they've noticed in the UK? I know we don't have figures as such here at the moment in relation to that, but just yourself, just your personal observations, that, you know, over the last decade, the numbers have tripled in the United Kingdom. Are you noticing that same trend?
I think we might even do more.
Oh, okay.
Genuinely. Yeah, so like in the UK, for example, in 2022, egg freezing accounted for 5% of all fertility treatments. I would pretty confidently say that I think it could have been as much as 8 or 10% last year.
Wow.
I really do think that it feels like it's heading that direction.
Okay, well, I'll take on board your personal observations and as being reasonably accurate, because you're working there all the time. And IVF in itself has become more popular too in recent times too. A lot more people are venturing into that at an older age.
Yeah. All age groups, really. Like, you know, it's more accessible to everyone. Obviously, everyone knows that the treatment is available. A lot of insurance companies will, you know, support IVF and pay for parts of it. So I think that is.
And now we have the government, of course, getting involved,
exactly.
And they're happy. They're happy to pay for it now too, it seems.
Yeah, exactly.
Just out for curiosity for people listening, you know, who are struggling to have a child, maybe, you know, I know the government have jumped in. Simon Harris said, you know, they wanted to pay for IVF treatment. So what are they going to pay for? Are they going to pay for the whole thing? Is it just one go, one shot? Or what do they pay for? Or what are they going to pay for?
No, they are paying. They are currently paying. So it isn't even what they're going to. It is happening.
Mm-hmm.
So the funding was implemented last year, and there's been babies born from IVF-funded treatment cycles. And they are paying for everything. So the whole treatment is covered, and the way it works is you start your investigations with your GP, and then you're referred to what's called a fertility hub, which could be in various hospitals across the country. And the way that it would work, if you're referred through that pathway, you would do various blood tests and scans within that system rather than privately.
Okay.
And then eventually then you may make your way to a fertility clinic and have the treatment, but they are covering everything. Okay. Now, egg freezing isn't covered.
I was going to say, that's the egg freezing is not covered yet. But by the way, is egg freezing, is it tax deductible?
Yes, it is. Yeah, yeah, it's still a health procedure, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so it is considered to be tax deductible, so you can claim back your tax. Well, look, continued success with the business in Waterstone.
Thank you very much.
You've got five locations around the country. If people want their eggs frozen, if women want their eggs frozen, and also, or if you're interested in IVF or any kind of treatments like that, I'm sure you'll happily look after them. Listen, Sarah O'Boyle, thank you very much indeed for joining us and giving us all that information. It's been very informative.
Thank you very much. Have a lovely evening. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. There you go. That's really interesting, isn't it? Now, I want to know what you think of it. So I want to leave it open to our callers now. I look at it from two points of view. I think this is wonderful from a point of view of women can choose, you know, if they want to carry on a career. And as they get older in life, it's more difficult to have children. You can choose to obviously freeze your eggs. Or you're not with the right person and you want to freeze your eggs. Or you just have a personal choice. Or you have a health problem. It's just, you know, this moment in time, this few years is not the right time for you to have a baby with a health problem. And you want to freeze your eggs. These are all good ideas. But there's a but. Niall, there's always a but, isn't there? Yeah, and that's what I want to hear from you tonight. Here's the but. Is it a good thing? Some people don't like us intervening in what they call nature. And of course, childbirth is nature. But is it a good thing that we're now, you know, assisting women to delay the birth of their first child or possibly the second child, I don't know, but delaying the birth of a child? We already have a problem with low birth rates in Ireland. We're at 1.5, Britain at 1.4, which is the lowest we have ever had. And we're below population replacement level. So that's a dangerous situation, which means that people have to come to Ireland to live to keep our population going. In time, of course, that's a problem for Ireland because we want to see more children. We want the government to support families. A problem for families at the moment is, of course, it's expensive to have a family in Ireland because you find somewhere to live and you can't even do that because it's unaffordable. So I want to know the pros and the cons of both egg freezing, IVF, all of these things, particularly the egg freezing, because we're going to be talking about that. We will be talking to a sperm donor a bit later on as well. But of egg freezing. So the idea of egg freezing is delaying having a child. That you store your eggs and you can delay having a child. As I said there, I mentioned to Sarah, if you go back a few decades here in Ireland, the first baby by a woman was usually had at the age of 20, 21. Now the first baby is like 32. Now that, if we continue down this route, I suppose, people would argue that figure or that age could go up slightly. Now it can only go up to a certain amount, obviously, because there's a limit to how old you can be having a baby for your own safety, apart from anything else. But at least the biological clock is not ticking away too fast because your eggs are frozen. So, because there is a point where you just don't produce as many eggs anymore.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.